Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's worship together, shall we? Would you stand and sing with us, please?
One, two, three, four.
So glad to see you all at worship this morning. The fourth Sunday in Lent. That means we're closely moving towards Easter as we count down. You got a bulletin today, and it has a lot of things that are going on in the life of the church. You'll notice there's an encore offering for today. It's in addition to, if you'd like to give towards that. Take this home, put it on your refrigerator so you don't forget what's going on in the life of your church. We're super busy. And we're super grateful that you're here this morning. So let us prepare our hearts and minds as we go to God in worship.
Good morning. I have a little frog in my throat too, so bear with me. We're so glad to have you today. I'm Holly Kundruck. Will you please stand in body and spirit as we welcome the light of Christ? Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3 and 17 through 22. Thank the Lord because he is good. His love continues forever. That is what those whom the Lord has saved should say. He has saved them from the enemy and has gathered them from other lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some fools turn against God and suffer for the evil they did. They refused to eat anything, so they almost died. In their misery, they cried out to the Lord, and he saved them from their troubles. God gave the command and healed them. so they were saved from dying. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his love and for the miracles he does for people. Let them offer sacrifices to thank him. With joy, they should tell what he has done. Let us pray. Dear God, as we gather today, our minds turn to the powerful words Jesus speaks of love, light, and new life. We are surrounded by your immense love for the world, a love so deep that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to offer salvation and eternal life. Today, please open our hearts to receive the gift of your grace. Grant us the faith to believe in the power of your love and the courage to walk in your light. May we come to you with open minds and seeking hearts, ready to be born anew through your Spirit. Transform us, Lord, into the instruments of your love and peace in the world. Guide our steps as we journey towards Easter, reminding us of hope and new life promised through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
Live forever. cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Thank you, praise band. This time we'd like to invite the kiddos forward for their spark moment before we head on out to spark worship. And I'd like to take the opportunity to thank everybody for their Easter egg hunt donations. We have almost 2,500 eggs and approximately 4,000 pieces of candy. Serving sizes don't exactly tell you how many pieces of candy are in there. So that's just based off of serving sizes. But we appreciate your donations. If you have more donations coming in, next Sunday is our last Sunday to accept them. And we are looking for candies for younger kiddos. If you feel compelled to bring in marshmallow-type candies for our 0 to 2-year-olds, we would love to have those. So thank you all so much. And if you want to help coordinate the Easter egg hunt, I will be in the fellowship hall after service today at 11 o'clock for our planning meeting, because there's a lot of details that go into it, and the Easter Bunny does not accept failure. He does not. So we have to make sure we're on our... The Easter Bunny's coming, of course, but the Easter Bunny knows the real reason that we're here, right? What's the real reason that we celebrate Easter? That you forgot. I'm pointing at it. That's right, Jesus and the cross. And this week in the children's ministry, we are starting our lessons on Holy Week, because I will not see you all on Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday. So today we are going to be learning about what Palm Sunday is and on what Maundy Thursday is and why they're important to us in the Christian calendar. Palm Sunday is the day that Jesus arrives in Jerusalem and he's celebrated as a king, right? People cry out and yell Hosanna to him and they welcome him like a king. And then very quickly during that week, the temperament of Jerusalem changes. And by the time we get to Maundy Thursday, it is very solemn. It is very, I don't know, there's stuff happening under the surface there that's working against Jesus and against God. And it is sad in a lot of ways. But we will be looking at celebrating Jesus as our king on Palm Sunday and remembering and looking to the example he set for us of service and loving one another on Maundy Thursday. And so that's what we're going to learn today. We're going to make some noisemakers that you guys can bring back to Palm Sunday worship, because I know how much Miss Kathy loves it when you guys make a lot of noise in worship when she sings. And we are going to, if we have time left, we'll continue sorting Easter eggs. We've been on a mission to sort Easter eggs for the egg hunt during Sunday school today, right? So we will continue to do that. Are you guys ready to pray? Let's bow our heads, fold our hands, close our eyes, and talk to God. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
We praise you as our coming King.
We praise you as our coming King.
Our King of peace, love, and humility.
Our King of peace, love, and humility.
Blessed are you.
Blessed are you.
Who comes in the name of the Lord.
Who comes in the name of the Lord.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go straight out the back for spark worship.
Thank you, Jesse. Y'all have fun. We're going to have fun here too, right?
Yes.
Y'all didn't sound enthusiastic about worship and praise. We're going to have fun, right? Amen. That's why we come, to have fun, learn about Jesus, be with one another. These cards in front of you are called Connect cards. If you have a new address or information for us or a guest to this congregation, fill that out. On the back is a prayer request. We take your prayer requests seriously. They go to your prayer team, where we will hold your prayers in our hearts. So feel free to do those. Fill those out. And then during the offering, just put it in the plate and we'll take care of the rest. Okay? Now let us go before God that we might praise Jesus and lift our concerns and move further into worship of our mighty King. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you with hearts both heavy and hopeful. We acknowledge the burdens we carry, the temptations we face, the moments where we fall short of your call. We confess, dear Lord, the ways that we have strayed from your path. We have become consumed by worldly concerns, neglecting our connection to you and with one another. We have allowed anger, resentment, and fear to cloud our judgment, leading us to words and actions that cause pain and division. Lord, hear our prayers. We yearn for comfort and fulfillment, but we often seek them in fleeting pleasures and distractions that leave us empty and unfulfilled. Yet amidst our struggles, we find glimmers of hope in your unwavering love and grace. We are reminded of the sacrifice your Son, Jesus Christ, made for us on the cross, a testament to your boundless compassion and forgiveness. Lord, during this Lenten season, O Lord, we pray for renewed strength and commitment to follow your teachings. Open our eyes to see the world through your lens with love, empathy, and compassion. Grant us the courage to confront our shortcomings and the wisdom to choose a path of righteousness. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those struggling with addictions, despair, overwhelming burdens. May they find solace in your presence and strength to overcome their challenges. Lord, hear our prayers. We lift up those facing financial hardships, uncertainty, and injustice. May they experience your unwavering support and the generosity of their communities. Lord, guide us, O Lord, towards a deeper understanding of your love and purpose for our lives. May this Lenten journey lead us closer to you and transform us into the instruments of your peace and love in the world. Lord, hear our prayers. These are prayers we say together as we offer to you, Lord Jesus, the prayer you taught your disciples, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I wonder if anybody here has ever hit hard times before in their lives. When you felt all alone. When you just needed a friend. In the story, before the story today in our Bible verses, Nicodemus visits Jesus at night in secret. Sometimes you'll hear it called the story of Nick at Night. Thank you. Nick at Night. Nicodemus clearly needed a friend. He needed someone he could lean on, someone he could trust. And he found such a friend in Jesus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a professional religious person. He was a member of the Jewish ruling court and publicly associating with Jesus at that time could have damaged his reputation, and it would have probably gotten him kicked out of the church. But meeting Jesus at night showed his desire that he wanted to learn more. It showed that he did have a fledgling belief that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but he kept it on the down low. Imagine Jesus telling Nicodemus he could lean on him. It reminds me of a song. You know the song, Lean on Me by Bill Withers? Do you know it? Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. 4, 5. It won't be long, short, till I'm gonna need elbow somebody to lean on. See, you know that song because we've all been there. We've all been in places of our lives where we need someone to lean on. And this is what Jesus offers Nicodemus. And this is what Jesus offers us. Let's read more about the story that we find in our scripture from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. It's in your pew Bibles on page 968. If you want to learn more about Nicodemus and Nick at Night, I need a drum roll here. Nick at Night. Go to John chapter 3. Just start from the beginning of the chapter, and you'll learn more about this story of Nicodemus and Jesus. We're going to join them in this story on verse 14 through 21. I'm going to be reading from the version called the New Century Version. You're reading from the New Revised Standard Version in the Pew Bible. And so listen for some differences in the language as we wait to hear a word from God. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, the Son of Man must also be lifted up so that everyone who believes can have eternal life in him. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world guilty, but to save the world through him. People who believe in God's Son are not judged guilty. Those who do not believe have already been judged guilty because they have not believed in God's one and only Son. They are judged by this fact. The light has come into the world, but they did not want light. They wanted darkness because they were doing evil things. All who do evil hate the light and will not come out to the light because it shows all the evil things they do. But those who follow the true way come to the light, and it shows the things that they are doing are done through God. This is the word of God for the people of God. As I said earlier, today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and we use those Sundays to count down to the time that we're going to celebrate Easter together on Easter Sunday. And this verse, these verses today that we read together from the Gospel according to John chapter 3 are really important verses. Some people have called them the most important verses in the Gospel, because the message proclaims the stark reality for each of us, and it is a message that demands our action. Have you ever played a game called Truth or Consequences?
Yes.
We just played it in the youth class today. It was really fun, wasn't it? We played a game where you get a question, and you either choose to tell the truth, and if you don't want to tell the truth, then you face the consequences, which is usually a dare that you have to do. Right, Letty? We all took turns either telling the truth or taking the dare because we just couldn't tell you about the truth that much. So here are a few of those questions I want you to consider. Tell the truth. What is the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? Now, can you tell somebody that? Or you don't have to. You can take the dare. The dare would be do an impression of a movie character. We had problems with that too, didn't we, Jenny? Here's the truth. Answer this man. What is your biggest fear? If you don't want to tell the truth, take the dare. Share your most embarrassing childhood moment. Nobody wants to do that. Yet the truth of the matter is that Jesus gives us this day a choice too. And he kind of tells us, you may take the truth, or you may live with the consequences. And it is a much more serious consequence than sharing your most embarrassing moment as a child. Here we've got to choose, Jesus says, that we will either embrace the truth of God's love and life found in Christ, or we will remain in the darkness of our own making, thus facing these inevitable consequences. In John 3:14, we find Jesus speaking with Nicodemus, As I said earlier, he was a religious leader who came to Jesus at night. And Jesus first tells him, in verse 14, he retells the story of snakes and sticks. It's found in the events of the Old Testament. If you went to Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, you'll find this event. It happened when the Israelite people were wandering in the desert. Remember, Moses got them out of Egypt, and they were all happy. Yay, we get to leave Egypt. We're no longer slaves. Yay, right? Woo, thank you, Jenny. This is my sound effect corner right here. Now, Nicodemus knew this story well. He was a religious leader. He knew scriptures, Hebrew Torah, frontward and backward. He's familiar with this story, and he's probably wondering, why in the world is Jesus telling him this story? Well, I think Jesus is telling him this story because it echoes our human nature, that God, who acted on behalf of the people who had cried out for freedom, and when things were not going so well as they thought they should go, they started kvetching. God answered their prayers, busting them out of slavery in Egypt. Moses led them into freedom. Yay! Go ahead, Jenny. And it was a tough journey, and the people were getting frustrated. They were getting angry, and they began to grumble, not only against Moses, but against God. How could you take us out of Egypt's slavery to bring us here where we have no food and no drink and no... All they could do is grumble against God. And so, as God's punishment, he sends snakes, poisonous snakes. And many of the people were bit by these poisonous snakes and died. And then the people started to repent. Remember what that word means? Turn around from their sins. They began to repent. They began to pray to God. They began to beg Moses, please, Lord God, save us from these snakes. And so God instructs Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And anyone who had been bitten by a snake looks upon the bronze serpent will be healed. He raised the snake, the serpent, and the people were healed. Why would Jesus tell this story to Nicodemus? Do you wonder about that? Because it's analogous to the story of what's going to happen to Jesus Christ, who will be raised up on a stick for the people who sinned. He said to him, "The Son of Man must be lifted up just as the bronze serpent was lifted." Do you get it? Do you hear it? Do you see it? Do you understand what Jesus is telling Nicodemus in this weird story about the snakes? So Nicodemus probably scratches his head. And just as the people were brought to healing and salvation through the serpent raised by Moses, we are raised to healing, salvation, restoration through the raising up of our Savior on the cross. And it goes further because Jesus' death on the cross brings us spiritual transformation and a promise of eternal life for all who will believe in him. Now I wonder, do you know what is one of the most memorized verses in the Bible? Scream it out. Bingo, you get a prize. You get a prize. You get a prize. You get a prize. Eternal life and salvation through Jesus Christ. It's yours. I'm going to say it's for free. John 3:16 is one of the most memorized verses in the whole world. And some people will call it the concise summary of Christian faith. It speaks of God's love for all humanity, the importance of Jesus, the concept of eternal life, all in one sentence. Who knows that verse? Will you say it? For God that he gave his only son, that who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is an amazing thing. Where did you learn this verse? Do you remember? Some of it learned it at the knee of a faithful believer in Jesus, maybe a grandfather or grandmother. Some of it learned it in Sunday school. If you're not going to Sunday school, you got to come talk to me after class today. Because we're still learning in Sunday school, aren't we? In a nutshell, it is like the whole of the Gospels written in clear, understandable language, and people of all educational backgrounds can memorize it. And most do. You know, when I do services, and even here on every Sunday, we say the Lord's Prayer. There are a lot of people out there now in the world that do not know the Lord's Prayer. They couldn't recite it to you if their life depended on it. But they know John 3:16. As a matter of fact, they know it so well because it's often in music, in movies, in religious arts, in sporting events. Even one college athlete helped people learn about John 3:16. Do you remember him? Tim Tebow. Do you have your eye blacks? These are called eye blacks. I hope you got one. Some of our friends from Sunday school were going to pass these out so everybody could put their eye blacks on. I never even knew what an eye black was until Tim Tebow. But what Tim Tebow did, he was a college player at Florida State, I think. Oh, University of Florida. University of Florida. So this guy named Tim Tebow, he got creative with his eye blacks. That's what these are called. Because all of the football players wear them because it reflects the light. So if the lights are heavy, you're playing during the nights, or it reflects that. It absorbs the light, which is interesting, isn't it? And he started writing scripture verses. The first ones he wrote were like Philippians 4:3 or something. And then he decided at the championship of the AFC to change the verse. He had to actually tell his coach he was going to change the verse to John 3:16. And by the time of the championship game, all kinds of crazy, wild things were happening. And the newspapers were paying attention. And it is reported that 9.1 million people Googled or looked on the internet for what John 3:16 meant. Is that an amazing effort, evangelism? They didn't know John 3:16. Now they do. For God so loved the world. He sent his only son for you and for me. That believing upon him, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. What a message to reflect to the world who so badly needs to hear this message. If you have your blackouts, you can wear them until you, so you can share the message of God, because sometimes I think we forget to. John 3:16 is a verse of comfort. It's a verse of inspiration. We quote it during difficult times to find solace in the message of God's love for us. We use it to remember the promise of eternal life. And at the heart of this passage lies the revelation of God's immense love for the world. For God so loved this world that he gave us his one and only son. This is not a passive love. This isn't a love we just get to say, okay. It is an active love demonstrated in our faith, in our belief. As Jesus was lifted on the cross, that he might become for us our salvation and our life, offering us a way out of the darkness. Emily Dickinson wrote a poem, a tiny little poem that they found on the back of an envelope that I loved. I can even remember this short little poem. And she wrote, "In this short life that only lasts an hour, how much, how little is within our power? According to Jesus, our very salvation is within our power. And with power comes great responsibilities, because the truth comes with the stark consequences for those who reject it. God did not send his son into the world, the scripture continues, to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And people who believe in God's son are not judged guilty. Those who do not believe have already been judged guilty. because they have not believed in God's one and only Son. And they are judged by this fact. Light has come into the world, but they did not want light. They wanted darkness because they were doing evil things. And all who do evil things hate the light. They don't come to the light because it'll show the evil things that they do. But those who follow the truth follow the light. And it shows them the things that are being done through God. The result, it's not punishment, but a natural consequence of choosing to remain separate from the source of light and love and light. It's a natural consequence. Just as a flower cannot bloom in the absence of sunlight, we cannot experience true life without experiencing the truth and light of Jesus Christ. And life is filled with opportunities for truth or consequences. We get to choose the consequence. Isn't that awesome? We get to choose. So what do you choose? Do you choose to bask in the light, in the warmth of God's love and truth? Or do you cling to the shadows? The shadows of our own doubts and fears, facing the inevitable consequence of separation from God. This is the choice that Jesus presented to Nicodemus. And this is the choice that Jesus presents to us. And this choice will determine the very fabric of our reality. In Aramaic, the words in there is to believe on him. And sometimes the words also are made believe into him, which may explain when we read the Bible versions how you see different versions because of the way the Aramaic is interpreted. When we believe into him, it means salvation, regeneration that only comes through faith in Christ. And what does that mean for us? It means that we put our faith, our full faith and trust in Jesus. It means that we believe in the teachings of Jesus found in the Bible. It means that we trust him to be the Son of God, the Messiah, who was prophesied in the Old Testament. It means that we accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and receive in turn the gift of eternal life. It means that we develop a personal relationship with Jesus through our prayers, through Bible study. It means that we live according to Christ's teachings, which embrace love and forgiveness and compassion and helping others. When you believe in Jesus, it means all this. It means living our life in the light of Jesus and striving to follow his teaching and example every day, in every interaction, in everything we do, even when you drive. I'm working on it. That's why I let you drive, Ginger. It means that we follow Jesus' commandments to love God and love others, including your enemies. We will live a life based on Christian principles like honesty and kindness and generosity. And we will help those in need. We will help them and serve our community. Living in the light means that we continue to participate in worship and we share our faith with others and we live a life that reflects our beliefs, much like this reflects the light off my eyes. We live a life that reflects what we believe. When I was living in West Texas, serving at Angelo State, no, it was St. Luke's and Angelo. You have to say it like that. When I was serving in West Texas. Thank you, Bobby. We were driving home from someplace, and my husband thought it was so beautiful because it was so dark that he stopped in the middle of the road. There's nobody around in West Texas at the time. He stopped in the middle of the road, and he said, oh, let's get out and look at the stars. This is so great. And so he left the car in the middle of the road. He got out with the keys and turned the car off, and it was completely dark. Have you ever been in the dark like that? It was so dark, I couldn't have seen my hand in front of my face. And it scared me, being in the dark. I had imagined all kinds of things coming up to grab me and my kids in the middle of the dark. And all I could say is, Kevin, can we get back in the car? Can we get back in the car? Yeah, the stars are great. So dark. And that's the kind of life you lead if you are not following the light of Christ. So dark. So confusing. So lost. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And Jesus said, what do you choose? Will you take the truth? Or will you take the consequences? Always our choice. Every behavior, every thought, every action is our choice to reflect God and the light of God that has been given to us so graciously, or to bumble around in the dark. I do not want to be in the dark. I don't want to pull off the road any time in my life. I don't want to be in an all-consuming darkness. Living in the light means you acknowledge the light of Christ and you allow Christ's love to overcome you as you surrender your self-sufficiency and fully embrace his grace. Because in Jesus' light, we can live a life that's principled. With and through Jesus only, we can live a life that takes integrity and honesty. We can live a life of overwhelming love of Christ Jesus. Let us choose life. Let us choose light. Let us choose a reality that only faith in Jesus can offer us. And as we live in the light, as we live in the light, proclaim his truth, not just with words, but with your life transformed as you live and become one with Christ Jesus. We need your light. The world needs your light. People who live in the darkness, they need your light. Why? Because God so loved the world. Amen? Amen.
It is now time for our offering. You got a little card. It says, together, our reach is beyond measure. The United Methodist Church's special giving structure ensures your generosity blesses as many people as possible in sustainable, strategic ways. Your donation changes the world one life at a time. Give to your church, make checks payable to your local church, or donate online. They have a little thing. I'm not really good at that, but I'm good at checks still. Those I know. So please, the people of the United Methodist Church, please give generously. Why do I give? I love this church. I've only been here 7 years, but I've learned so much, made so many friends, and I love this church. I love our pastor. I love the Bible studies. I love everything about it. Mostly, I love you guys. You have helped me become a better person, and I really love you for that. So I want you to know, I give because I want our church to continue to grow and flourish. We welcome new people all the time, and I hope they feel as blessed to be here as I do. All right, will the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering? Let us pray. Loving God, with grateful hearts we come before you today, offering our gifts. These gifts, whether material, physical, or spiritual, represent our humble acknowledgement of your abundant blessings in our lives. We thank you for the gift of life itself, for the air that we breathe, the food that sustains us, and the love that surrounds us. We thank you for the talents and resources you have entrusted to us, and for the opportunities we have to use them in your service. As we offer these gifts, we ask that you bless them, not just for their material value, but for the love and commitment they represent. May they be used to further your work in the world, to bring relief to the suffering, and to spread the message of your love. May our offerings be a symbol of your dedication to your service and to our desire to live according to your will. Guide us in using your resources wisely and generously so that we may be faithful stewards of your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before you sit down, let's say our invitation to discipleship together, because as we talk over this, we know that our love in Jesus Christ and our, it's exercise, Opelia. As we think about these things, it is our call to action into the world. So this is what we say we believe we're going to do. Will you join me? The mission of Lotus Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and of the world. It's a big job, but I think you've got enough light to do it. Amen?
Amen.
I hope that today, as you go forth from this place, that you will carry with you the light of Christ. And these dark things really work. They absorb the light, or the light is reflected off. Isn't that what we want? We want our light to reflect off on Jesus Christ. And so as we leave this place, I pray God's blessing upon you, that you might find peace and hope and power as you live in the light of Christ. And we'll go forth in God's peace. Amen.